Thank you for joining us today at Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for our online listeners joining. Let's open our Bibles today up to Matthew chapter 6, and we're continuing our study of Jesus teaching prayer. As we continue our study of the life of Christ, we are in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're in the section that we are learning about the Lord's Prayer. So as we're in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read together starting in verse 9, and we're just going to read 9 through 15 as we continue to look at some context here for the area that we're looking at today. So Jesus begins and says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's open with a word of prayer today. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this time now as we're in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would use the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts through discernment to help us understand your word. I also pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work on our hearts and convict us of any sin that we need to get right in our lives. And Lord, I just thank you for those that are listening today. I pray that you would bless them and encourage them. Help them to learn a little bit more with me as I am learning as well today. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, as we look here at Matthew chapter 6, we begin here in verse 10. Now, actually, last week we left off with verse 10. And the thought that we closed with, we are going to pick back up and continue with this morning. And if you missed last week's message, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it so that you don't miss anything. So actually, we're going to pick it up today with verse 11. Jesus begins here in verse 11 with, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, we might also say, "Give us the natural provisions that we need in order to accomplish your will for our lives." Now consider with me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, which says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Now we see that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The gospel believer houses the Holy Spirit. Now that means that we need to take care of our bodies. After all, how are we to accomplish God's will and purpose for our lives if we do not have the basic necessities to do so? Now, that being said, those basic necessities may look different between many different gospel believers. For instance, if God is equipping you to be a pilot, your necessities are going to look different from someone that he has called to be a school teacher. You know, in our very own abilities and desires, we will differ. Now, God may be calling one person to be stronger than another, or thinner than another, or shorter than another, all within his will to be used for his purpose. I remember hearing the testimony of Amy Carmichael, an Irish missionary in the early 1900s. One of the things that Amy absolutely wanted as a child was blonde hair and blue eyes. But God gave her brown hair and brown eyes. One night in prayer, she relied on the promise that God is always good and wants to do good for his children. And so she prayed especially for blue eyes. Well, when she woke the next morning, she ran to the mirror to look at her new blue eyes. And she was distraught to find that her eyes had remained brown. She recognized that God didn't want to change them, but she still greatly desired the blue eyes. Well, fast forward 20 years, and God has Amy as a missionary in India. And according to her testimony, there was more than one time that her brown hair and brown eyes saved her life in dangerous areas where a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman would have stood out. God knows what he is doing. He has a plan for our lives that we are not always privy to. He sometimes lets us in and, and lets us know kind of what's going on or what to do or what he's about to do. But most of the time, we simply learn to obey and follow. Now, God knows our needs. He knows what needs to be accomplished and what we need to get his will accomplished. He knows the difference between our wants and our needs, even though we are chief justifiers for what we want. You know, we could ask for the most preposterous thing. We could say, Lord, I need a 30-foot yacht in the Caribbean. I need it. You know, can you imagine how many times the Holy Spirit just rolls his eyes as he hears our requests? And then there's always the spiritual justification we add onto things. We say, just think of how many people I can pick up and take to church with that. Now, your desire may be much more practical, and in fact, it might be a really good thing, but that does not mean that it is part of what God's purpose is for your life. Now, there's another part here in asking for our daily bread, and that is being satisfied with what our daily bread ends up being. I remember times in my life where I noticed that other believers were being blessed in ways that I was not. Now, I admit to being jealous. It felt unfair. And I even went to God and complained a little bit. But you know what? In the few times that I reacted that way, when I saw how and what God did with those lives, I would not have been able to appreciate what God had given them the same way. Because my focus was on my wants and not on my needs and not really on God's perfect blessings for my life. I was like the child that received the smaller piece of cake. Instead of rejoicing in the blessing of the provision of the cake, I was more fixed on the fact that someone else's slice was bigger. Now, everyone's life is different. God's plan for our lives is different. We need to learn to be satisfied with the plan that God has for us and learn to take joy in it. God is always good and he is always looking to do good for us. That goodness will not stop. But we can, at times, perceive his goodness as something less than good when we are only focused on our wants and our desires. Now let's continue in verse 12. Jesus says, and forgive us our debts. Now, what are our debts? What are our debts against a holy God but our sin? Just as we ask daily for our provision, so we need to ask daily for the forgiveness of our sins so that we are aligned with the will of the Lord. And when we know that we have sinned before God, we must ask for that forgiveness before we can come before him and have an intimate conversation with him. God does not hear our prayers when sin has come between us. Jesus continues and says, as we forgive our debtors. Now, we ask that God forgives us of our sin as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever harbored secret sin towards another and expected that God will still forgive you without any hesitation? You know, the expectation here is that God will forgive as we forgive. You know, we cannot come before a holy God with humility and a pure heart when our heart is filled with disgust for someone else, or when we are harboring sin towards another gospel believer. There is no purity in that, no holiness, only contempt. Now look with me at verse 13 for the close of this prayer. Jesus begins, and do not lead us into temptation. Now, this phrase has puzzled many of those that know the attributes of God and how he never leads us to sin. Therefore, he never leads us into temptation of sin. That is the attribute of the devil. And when we look at the word temptation, we often think of it as the desire to do something wrong, to play in our mind with the idea of a sinful action. Now, it is the precursor to sin. It is something that we tend to despise. And many believers work to not be visited by any kinds of temptations. However, the Greek word that is used for temptation is pyrosmos, and it means a trial or a proving. Now, pastor and author Erwin Lutzer teaches that temptation, with all of its frightful possibilities for failure, is God's method of testing our loyalties. He goes on to say that these same temptations, struggles, and yes, even our sins are used by God to help climb the ladder of spiritual maturity. Now, God has a purpose in our trials and even in our temptations. When those same temptations keep coming back over and over, it helps us to see what we need to work on, what we need to improve on in order that we may successfully overcome those things that we are so often tempted by. Now, Jesus, through his example prayer, is suggesting that we don't like very much when temptation comes, which I can say for myself is correct. But we also find it very difficult and even crushing at times to go through these trials without the strength of the Lord. Our trials have to be faced with the help of the Lord. Now, Jesus continues and says, "But deliver us from the evil one." Now, you may have just the word evil and not evil one in your translation. The Greek word that we use for evil in this context means both evil and wicked one, attributing both sin and the sin maker to this verse. Now, here the believer looks to God for that strength to be delivered from the trial, to be able to face the trial and temptation through God's strength. Not that we will be pulled away from that trial altogether, but that we can face it, knowing that we will not fail because we have the promises of God at our disposal. Now, temptations teach us to rely on God and to let go of our natural sinful desires and lusts. We have to learn to love God more than our sin if we want to be able to overcome the temptations of our sins. You know, much of this is self-control on our part and putting God in the place that he deserves to be, number one in our lives above anything else. Now, for those who are gospel believers, we should want nothing to do with sin. We should make every effort to stay as far away and as far apart from anything that even looks sinful as much as we can. Now, we sometimes pray for the removal of sin and temptation in our lives while we are knee-deep in sin. We have to remove ourselves from that sin and repent of our sins before we can begin to remove such temptations from our lives. Now, when temptation comes, regardless of what kind of sin we are tempted to commit, we have the choice to either commit the sin or not commit the sin. You know, in the back of our mind, we identify that the sin is bad because all sin is an attack against God. All sin disappoints God. And we know that the sin will not help us draw closer to God. However, sometimes we think that the sin that we're being tempted by will give us momentary pleasure. So we choose that sin over obeying God. And sometimes we choose to follow the temptation to sin because we trust that sin experience more than we trust God, because we don't know God like we should. Now, regardless of what draws us in, the feeling of the need for that sin does not last. When the sin has passed, we often feel disappointed in ourselves. We feel two steps further away from God, and we are left with the feeling that we will never have victory over that sin. Temptation is not there to remind us of the sin that we want to commit. Temptation is there to show us what things we need to let go of. And it is there to show us the ways that we need to get to know our God on a much deeper level. The more that you seriously desire to know God, the less sin will be your master, and the more victory you will have in temptation. All right, Jesus continues here, finishing off verse 13. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Now, some people look at the closing of the prayer and name it a doxology. A doxology is a statement of praise or glory to God, and often we see it used in earlier hymns. Many different churches today have at least one version of a singable doxology in their hymn book. Many churches years ago, used to close every service with the singing of the doxology. Now, King David gave us a praise that acts as a doxology in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, just to give you an example of one. He says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." Now, God the Father, the one whom the prayer is being addressed to, has the kingdom and the power and glory forevermore. God's kingdom will never fall. God's power will never fail. And God's glory is everlasting throughout all of eternity. Now we see the prayer is closed with one word, amen. Now, amen means this is the truth, or may this truth be fulfilled. It is a firm declaration of the ending, but also a reinforcement that everything that has been stated is the absolute truth. Now, we are not quite done. Yes, the prayer is closed, but Jesus gives us two more important verses to consider in how we pray, and we're going to look at those next week. In closing, I want us to consider together how we face temptations in life and overcome through the strength of God. And I think this is a very important question for us to consider because we often fight our battles in our own strength. But continually overcoming the temptation to sin is impossible without the strength of our great God. So let me give you four ways to help you learn how to rely on the strength of God. Four ways to help you learn how to rely on the strength of God. So we're going to start in Psalm chapter 57, verses 1 and 2 say, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." Now, when we're faced with temptation, especially that temptation that keeps coming back, that keeps pulling us under, that keeps us in a place where we feel like we will never be free, we need to turn away from the sin and we need to take our worries and cares to God. Now notice here in Psalm 57 verse 2, the psalmist says, "I will cry out to God Most High." Now what are we doing when we cry out to God? We are praying. We are bringing our concerns before God in prayer. Now, sometimes we get caught up in this idea that we can handle everything on our own. We don't need help from anyone. Like it's a weakness to turn to others. Do you know who wants you thinking that way? Satan. Satan, the devil, wants you to try to do everything on your own because he knows how to defeat you when you're on your own. But God has already given us the provision to help us in times of need. He's here to help already. He's just waiting for you to pray and acknowledge him. Now, first and foremost, when facing the struggle of sin, we need to turn away from the sin and pray to God for help and strength to overcome the sin. Let me say that again. That is number one. Turn away from the sin and pray to God for help and strength to overcome the sin. Now, it's important that we turn away from the sin. Not that we give in to it and then pray. You know, God may give us the strength to overcome the sin, but we are already in it. God can help us just as much to not sin in the first place if we bring our concerns to him before we get into the sin. Now, consider again Psalm chapter 57, verse 1, which says, "My soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." Now, I don't trust in God when I don't turn to him. I don't feel comfortable to take refuge or to feel safe somewhere that I don't trust. Now, if I really do not trust in the sin and trust in God, then I will show that by turning away from the sin. Now, number two, we have to get to know our God as the Bible teaches us. Let me say that again. We have to get to know our God as the Bible teaches us. I think we all have some knowledge of God. The more dedicated you are to learn about God, the deeper your understanding of God will be. But the more that we learn about the nature and power of God, the more that we will rest and even relax in Him, the more that we can trust His strength and His abilities. Now, when I was little, my father used to clasp his hands together and have me sit inside of his hands, and then like a little seat there. And then he would swing me up in the air and back down again. And sometimes I'd want him to do that over and over again. Now, one time my grandparents were visiting, and my grandfather offered to do the same thing. And you know what happened? I didn't want my grandfather to swing me because I didn't know him as well as I knew my father. Now, my grandfather was nice and he was kind, but was he as strong as my father? You know, would my grandfather drop me or would he hold on to me and keep me safe? I didn't know enough about my grandfather that I trusted him to keep me safe. I had seen him and visited with him several times, and I knew that he was good, that he was kind, and that he did good things, but I needed to know whether or not he had the strength and ability to keep me safe before I trusted him with me. Now, we have to get to know the God of the Bible on a very private and personal level in order to fully understand that He really does have the strength and ability to keep us safe. I would encourage you to study the names of God in the Bible and the attributes of God. At 10 a.m. here, we have our prayer hour each week, and we've been learning different names of God. And each name of God is connected to one of His character traits, one of His abilities or attributes. You know, for instance, one of God's names is El Shaddai, and it means God Almighty or Almighty God. And the idea presented here isn't just that God is strong and mighty, but that He is the strongest and the mightiest of any other being. Now, I consider that name and His attributes, and it brings me a stronger understanding of God's ability. Then I consider verses connected to His name, such as Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 and 2, which says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." And then I study other passages that uses His name and shows me over and over in what context that others trusted in Him and why. And all of these things helps to build my understanding of the God that I can always put my trust in. Now, as I study His attributes, I learn so much, like how God never changes. He always remains the same. What He said yesterday stays the same today and tomorrow. Or how about the attribute that He always follows through with what He said He would do? Every promise that He makes, He follows through with. And that's another great study of Him, fulfilling His promises. Now, I will never learn to rely on God if the bulk of my understanding of Him comes from those pithy sayings on refrigerator magnets or the quip that we see on Facebook or the video that I saw on YouTube. In order for me to get to know, really get to know God, I have to go back to the source myself and study Him directly from God's Word. So number three, we have to learn to depend on God and go to Him first. We have to learn to depend on God and go to Him first. How often do we go to God last? You know, we try to take care of the issue ourselves, or we try and drown out our problems or escape from them long before we go to God. Sometimes even in there, we'll go and we'll ask our friends and our neighbors what they think about the situation. We'll poll people and kind of get an idea as to what we should do before we even go before God. And we have to be able to depend on God and have the faith that He will take care of our needs. Consider James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Now, when we put our dependence on God, He gives back to us liberally, in large amounts. And he does not scold us in the process because he wants to help us. And he wants us to ask for help and rely on his help. Now, notice that we have to ask God for help in faith. We have to approach him ready to trust him. Now, I think sometimes we ask God and then we weigh the balance between what God will provide and what we think we can provide and make a decision from there based on our wants and our desires. But God wants us to put our faith and trust in him, to take care of our needs without a doubt in our mind that he has the ability to do so. Only then can we sleep sweetly and relax in what he is doing. And then lastly, we need to learn to submit to the work that he is doing in our lives. That's number four. We need to learn to submit to the work that he is doing in our lives. Now, this submission needs to be humbly and meekly learning to take joy in what he is doing in our lives. Even when we turn to God, when we cry out to him, and when we depend on him, there are times that we are still not thrilled by what he is doing in our lives. You know, when we are faced with the temptation of sin, we don't always care about the good work that is going on behind the scenes. We just want those feelings of temptation to go away. We want the relief, you know, whatever it takes. And so often, God is at work to try and teach us something vital that we need to learn, and we just don't care. Now, no one likes to be in the frying pan. No one likes the pain that life brings. But there are times that God allows that pain because he is trying to get our attention, or because he is trying to help us make a very important change in our lives. And we need to let him do just that. And we need to remember that his plan is perfect, and he is mightier in strength and wisdom than we are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we've been able to dig into your word and draw out the truths of your example prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have that we can always come to you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you're always listening, ready to take our prayers and accept them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you answer our prayers when we pray to you. Thank you that we can submit to you. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to get our lives right, to turn away from our sin so that we can trust in you, Lord. We thank you for the reminder over and over again that you will forgive us, that you will not lead us into temptation, but you will deliver us from the temptations of Satan, the temptations of the devil. And we thank you, Lord, for those temptations, because each one of those temptations we know helps us to learn the places in our life that we need to clean up, that we need to work on making better for your glory, that we need to get rid of that sin that maybe is holding us back or something that often gets us. I pray, Lord, for us this week that you would help us to be focused on what is most important. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to identify those sins that come through temptations so that we can learn how to get rid of those things in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we can be done with those temptations so that we can move on and we can grow and you can continue to do work in our hearts and our lives. I pray for any of those listening, Lord, that maybe is struggling in a particular area in their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would work in them. I pray, Lord, you use your Holy Spirit in their lives. Lord, bring them encouragement and wisdom and peace and understanding. I pray, Lord, for any of those that are listening that don't know for sure that when they die, they'd be in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would lead them to the truth, even lead them to give us a call or come to the church, Lord, and we'd love to sit down and take them through and show them what the Bible has to say. And Lord, we just thank you that there are so many promises in your word, and you always fulfill your promises because you're always good. And I thank you, Lord, for the good word and your good truth that we've had today. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.